If you've been around for a couple of years, you might remember or know that the day of Pentecost is particularly special for me because I grew up in a family that comes from a tradition that is based around the story of Pentecost, and therefore not surprisingly called Pentecostals. Yeah, I was one of them. My family still is a part of that tradition, and there's a lot to say about that, a lot I've said in the past. But suffice to say for this morning, it's a story that has resonated with me, that's been a primary story for me throughout my life of faith and more recently my life of ministry. The story of the day of Pentecost, you'll recall, prior to our reading this morning, begins at the beginning of the chapter of Acts with the ascension of Jesus Christ up into heaven with his instructions to take the good news to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, to Mars and beyond. That part of the Greek got left off of some of the early manuscripts, but I'm pretty sure that's there. And he told those same disciples, wait here in Jerusalem, because something is about to happen. And faithfully, but probably puzzlingly, they did wait in Jerusalem. And that's where we find them at the beginning of Acts chapter 2, waiting and wondering. And suddenly, like the rush of a mighty wind, the Spirit blows in among them with tongues as of flames that light upon them, so that together they are able to speak and proclaim the good news of the gospel in the multiple languages of the various immigrants and others who are gathered outside, who have gathered for this special feast day, this Jewish holiday of Pentecost. And in doing so, with the power of the Spirit in them, the people who are gathered are both amazed at what happens, and they're also puzzled by what happens, and they begin to wonder together, what is going on with this little group of Galileans? And that's when Peter stands up. Now, ordinarily, when Peter stands up, that's not always a good thing in the Gospels. You'll recall that it was Peter who stood up in the boat when they saw Jesus walking on the water and said, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you. And Jesus said, come. And so Peter walked out on the water, and seeing the wind and the waves, he became afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus reached out and took his hand and said, oh, Peter, you of little faith. Peter of little faith. And then later, Peter would not only be one of little faith, but one of much doubt and fear, as on the night of Jesus' arrest, he is the one who three times denies Jesus and abandons him. It's that same Peter of little faith and much doubt and fear. It's that same Peter who Jesus saw such potential in that he renamed him from Simon to Peter, Petra, the rock upon which the church would be built, who saw something in Peter that Peter couldn't even see in himself. It's that Peter who stands up in the midst of this chaotic and confusing moment of multiple languages being spoken by the power of the Spirit and begins to preach. And that's where we find today's lesson. From the next part of this chapter on the day of Pentecost, reading from Acts chapter 2, verses 14 to 21, listen to the word of God for us today. But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them. Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts, be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, for you alone are our rock and our redeemer. And let all God's people say, amen. I suppose like a lot of people, I have certain routines in the morning. Actually, Miriam and I have certain routines. Whoever is the first to get up and out the door and down the stairs to the kitchen will inevitably say, I'm going to make coffee. To which the other one left behind will automatically say, I like coffee. And so our day begins. After having had a few sips of coffee, because I normally don't say much before then, we will begin to catch up, not only about the day ahead, but occasionally, if we remember, about dreams that we've had the night before. Just this week, this is a true story, a few days ago, I woke up and remembered that I'd had a dream. And in my dream, Miriam had gotten up before me and gone downstairs, and then screamed and came running back up the stairs, yelling, "It's August! We slept until August!" And in my dream, I immediately had two thoughts. One, why didn't you come looking for us? We were gone for 2 months. And my second thought was, that explains why I'm so hungry. What's for breakfast? Dreams are weird, aren't they? The things that we dream about are so strange. Now, one can take an entire graduate class in understanding and interpreting dreams, of course. There's a lot to it, and it would admittedly be oversimplistic of me to say that our dreams are a way for our subconscious minds to make sense of the world in which we live, the circumstances and context of our lives, and help us try to make sense of what's next in our lives as well. Dreams can be powerful, they can be delusional, they can be hilarious, they can be terrifying. We don't really understand why we have the dreams that we do, but we think that there's some meaning in them for us about how we can better understand the ever-changing context of our lives and who it is we are meant to be and what it is we are meant to do next. We find this tradition goes all the way back through time. In fact, we find many examples of the power of dreams, often inspired by God or through a messenger sent by God, as testified to in Scripture. We find Jacob in the book of Genesis dreaming about a ladder and people going up and down as a testimony to his own ancestry and to his descendants and the power and breath of his descendants for generations to come. We find a dream in Pharaoh of Egypt about skinny cows and fat cows, and an understanding, a foreshadowing of what is to come, years of plenty and years of want. And in its interpretation, the launch of Joseph as an important figure in Egyptian and Israelite history. The prophets, of course, have dreams and visions often about helping the Israelite people to understand their way into and out of various times of exile and what it means about who they are and who God is and where they are heading. At the beginning of the New Testament, it's a young couple, of course, Joseph and Mary. In Joseph's case, in Matthew's gospel, we're specifically told that he has a dream in which an angel comes to him, telling him not to divorce Mary, but that this child they are about to have is special. In Mary's case, an angel comes. We're not told specifically that it's a dream in Luke's gospel, though I have to think she wondered whether or not it was a dream or a delusion. And in both cases, an understanding about how their lives are about to change dramatically and about the one who they are to welcome is going to change the life of their people and show them a different way, lead them in a better way. Of grace and love and peace for generations to come. It's Peter himself, in fact, in just a few chapters later in the book of Acts, chapter 10, where he will have a dream about a sheet descending from heaven filled with all kinds of animals and an invitation to reconsider what faithful practices look like in an ever-expanding community of faith. And that, in its own way, kind of brings us back around to today's lesson from the second chapter of Acts. In the midst of this cacophony of languages, Peter stands up and begins to preach using what even for them would have been a relatively obscure prophet and prophecy from the book of Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit. And did you notice the litany upon whom the spirit will be poured? All flesh, including women and men, the young and the old, and presumably the free, because that's compared with the slaves. And given what we know about people who would have been slaves, that says something to us about the inclusion of people of various socioeconomic classes and races and nationalities. The Spirit poured out upon all flesh. And this idea that they together will have dreams and visions, in the same way, dreams and visions that will help them to understand their present, ever-changing context, the world around them, the landscape which is shifting, so that they might better live into and lean into the future that God intends for them. And in this moment in the first century, things could not have been changing any more rapidly. For the promise, the covenant of God for a particular people in a particular place for millennia is now exploding to be the good news of Jesus Christ for all people in all places. And that will have a dramatic impact on what it means to be faithful in the life of the community of believers. Because the ways in which they have been marked as faithful, marked as disciples, both literally in the sense of circumcision, but also figuratively in the sense of a shared homogenous cultural heritage, and certain practices about dietary laws and restrictions and other ways of marking the clear boundary about who they are, all of that is being dismantled and destroyed in a movement that is pushing the boundaries of the church out. And notice the ways in which that movement happens. This is not an invitation in which all y'all out there are invited to come, but you have to be just like us. You have to look like us and talk like us and practice faith like us. No, that's not what happens in the book of Acts. And we get that clue from the very beginning. Because the miracle of the Spirit is upon the disciples so that they can speak in other languages, so that those from other contexts might hear the good news in their own language. That's a distinctly different way of getting the message across than the way it could have gone. The miracle of the Spirit could just as easily have been a miracle upon the ears of the multilingual, multicultural gathering outside so that they all understood the one language spoken by those Galileans in the upper room. And that's not what happens. What happens is that the church explodes in a way that people hear in their own context, in their own language, with their own future practices of faith and faithful living. The dreams and the visions that Joel prophesies about, that Peter reminds them of in this sermon, are about an ever-changing, now dramatically changing, current context so that they can make sense of it and begin to reimagine the life that God is calling them forward to, which may look very, very different than the life they had imagined. Certainly it looks different than the life they have lived. I think that power of the Spirit, as we've been reminded this morning already in liturgy and song and in anthem, that power of the Spirit is still present among us, helping us in our individual lives of faith and in our corporate life of faith, constantly understand and evaluate the changing landscape in which we live so that we can better, more faithfully, with vision and energy, live into the future God intends for us. We see that happen in our individual lives all the time when something dramatic happens. It might be something joyful, like a graduation, a new job, a new relationship, a new child, a new place to live. Any of those circumstances are moments in which we have to reimagine our lives into this new future because the present is changing. And it happens when tragic things happen as well, when there's a loss of any of those things, or when a difficult diagnosis comes, and suddenly the world around us and the values and priorities and the schedules that we have had all get thrown out the window. And the power of the Spirit, still present in our lives, helps us to reimagine the present so that we can live into this new future in whatever ways we will be called to do so. That happens as well in our corporate lives. This morning, we ordained and installed new spiritual leaders, deacons, and elders for the life of our church. And about a month and a half ago, when we were in training sessions with new officers, one of the things I said to them is, it's important for elders and deacons in the life of this church today, in 2019, among the many things that are in front of you, to include this willingness to hear the dreams and visions of the Spirit present in your life, because things are changing. We know that being church in 2019 is dramatically different from what church looked like in 1959. The ways in which we gather and program and do ministry and mission have evolved. And to be clear, we're not throwing the baby out with the bathwater. We still believe in central truths. We're not throwing out the gospel. Even as the methods change, the message stays the same. But those methods are changing because the world around us is changing. And so to be a faithful spiritual leader in the life of this church today means being a leader who has the kind of nimbleness and resilience to try new things, to be willing to fail, to be willing to experiment, to be willing to do things differently than we've done them in the past. That's going to be a part of how we together as a congregation move forward. One small example of how this is happening here in the life of our corporate community is a few months ago, one of our very effective and faithful mission partners here in Fort Collins called the Matthews House, a ministry that was started over 10 years ago by a woman named Jerry who encountered a young adult on the streets in Fort Collins who was in need, and she realized he didn't just need a few bucks. He actually needed a more holistic approach to an education and an encounter with opportunities to job training and a whole skill set that would help him to blossom and become the young man that God had intended for him to be. And so as a person of faith, Jerry stepped out in faith and created this ministry called Matthew's House, which tries in a holistic way to work with families in our community who are often families in crisis or in need for a wide variety of reasons, but trying to wrap a set of support services around them that help them to become the people God has intended them to be for a life of independence and success. And Matthew's House over these last 12 or so years has blossomed into a wonderful ministry, but one in which they found themselves a couple of months ago looking for new space. They've been using a building that belongs to the Poudre School District for several years, and the school district is reclaiming that building just because they need it for expanded programs. And Matthew's House was looking for a new place to run those programs. And so they started asking around the city to city leaders and community leaders, and somebody said, hey, you should ask over at First Presbyterian. I hear they're looking for new ways to be engaged in the community. And so they came by one day, unannounced, and said, hey, we're thinking about looking for some new space. What do you think? And I'll be honest, my first thought was, I can't imagine that happening. I can't imagine that we would be able to create the kind of space that would serve the families that you serve. Thankfully, the Spirit is still moving and blowing and empowering and equipping, because as we continued the conversation, suddenly as dreams and visions tend to do, I was able to reimagine how this space, this campus that we share as a treasure among us, could be used in a new way in our changing landscape here in Fort Collins. And so to make a long story at least a little bit shorter, a couple of weeks ago, our session, the elders that we just elected and ordained and installed, the session voted to welcome the Matthews House to use part of our education building. And we don't know if they'll be here for a year or 150 years, just like we don't know much about ourselves either sometimes. But to welcome them to come and to offer these programs, a homework club and services for their parents and for whole families to learn and be equipped together to be more successful in our community, our shared community of faith. The Spirit is still blowing among us, helping us to reimagine how this changing landscape might be an opportunity for us to live in new faithful ways. And so this morning, I think the invitation of Pentecost is for us to continue and to always pray, "Come, Holy Spirit, dwell among us. Come, Holy Spirit, dwell among us." Let's try that together. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, as together we seek to be a community where the polarization and the narcissism that's present in so much of the rest of the world is confronted by a community of welcome, a community of belonging. Come, Holy Spirit, where so much of the materialism that we find in the world around us is confronted by a community of faith that's marked in new ways by expressions of compassion and generosity. Come, Holy Spirit, as together we envision and dream about being the kind of place where we can make a dent in homelessness in our community, where homelessness truly is rare, short-lived, and non-recurring. Come, Holy Spirit, where together we will commit ourselves to nurture and educate children who the rest of the world has left behind. Come, Holy Spirit, as together we imagine being the kind of community of faith that doesn't weaponize religion to beat one another over the head with it, that recognizes that sometimes people come through our door who have been abused and who have been burned out by their own communities and experiences of faith, and yet will find here a community where faithfulness is marked by grace and love, joy and peace. Come, Holy Spirit. Come with Holy Spirit Pentecostal power. Come and dwell among us indeed. Amen.